If you would like to show your support for this podcast, please tell a friend. Follow us on Spotify, stop into our online store or donate. Visit cbiztvmedia.com, that's cbiztvmedia.com to learn more. Be a guest. Connect with us by email at cbizmedia1@gmail.com. Thank you.
CBiz Media presents
All the Single Ladies.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. This is Irene with CBiz Media. We have a great group of ladies here. Hopefully some more will come and join us. But we are talking about our romance goals and our visions for this season. We have Tayonga here, and we also have Sandra here that's going to share a little bit about forgiveness with us. So I think I want to start off with Sandra and let her kind of, in this season of, you know, people may be single, they may be divorced, they may want to start again when it comes to romance and marriage, hopefully. What advice would you have for them when it comes to the portion of forgiveness?
I'm Sandra Cobb. I'm a certified forgiveness coach here in Michigan. And the advice I would give is to pack it. Make sure whatever relationship you're entering into that you put in your tool bag. Forgiveness. And a lot of times we may not pause to think about how is forgiveness relative to this, or why is it important in this area. I believe that it can connect to every aspect of our lives, and especially with entering into relationships. I don't care where you are, who you are, what you believe in, how you voted in the last election, none of that matters. I believe that all of us have been offended. All of us have been hurt. Sometimes we've been the one to hurt someone, right? So forgiveness is relative in all of our lives, and it's not to be ignored. It's not to be ignored. But I do understand, and part of my assignment is to keep forgiveness top of mind in for people, to keep it top of mind, because it can be subtle in how it will, or unforgiveness can be very subtle in how it creeps into all areas of our lives, in our relationships, in our business relationships, our relationships with our children, relationships with our parents, at church, and in everything that we do, with our neighbors, you know, really everything that we do. And so I thought it was so wise of you. And I really appreciate the invitation to come here, because it's so fitting. If you're coming up with these plans for romance, you have to see and deliberately see where forgiveness fits in. Right? Or unforgiveness, is it present? So I don't want to consume all the conversation. I could talk all day, all night about it, and you just let me know when and where you want me to jump in.
Well, while you're talking, can you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit more about your background, and also tell us about your book.
Okay. Again, I'm a certified forgiveness coach, which I've gone through training for this, but a lot of my training has been my life, right? My learned going through traumatic experiences, maybe not unsimilar to yours. And for me, a pathway, a tool that I have used is my faith-based Christian beliefs that have helped me and taught me how to forgive. And I now share some of my story with you. Going on 38 years ago this year, my baby sister was murdered by two young men. And I was a person of faith. I was new in my faith. I believed I was supposed to forgive because that's what I was taught. I didn't challenge it, didn't disagree with it. And I thought I had forgiven until one night I had a dream. And in this dream, God asked me the question specifically, had I forgiven them, really forgiven them? And I talk much more about it in my book. But I woke up realizing that I hadn't. That I hadn't, although I thought I had up here, and I even said it with my mouth, in my heart, I had not forgiven. And so I began to cry out and ask God to help me, show me how to do this, because clearly I don't know how, right? Clearly, I thought I had it, but clearly I don't know how. So step by step, pain by pain, emotion by emotion, everything that I felt, I began to get strategy on knowing how to forgive, genuinely forgive these two young men who had forgiven me. And so that's why I have this assignment now as a forgiveness coach to share that with other people. Because sometimes we want to do something, but we're not quite sure how. Right? You can tell somebody all day, like, if you want to lose weight, just do this. You know, if you want to do something, accomplish something else, just do this. But sometimes you need someone to walk alongside of you with some strategy, some real strategies to help you to get to your goal. And that's what I do as a forgiveness coach. So I have coaching programs to help people. But after becoming a coach, God did have me write this book called Free to Forgive. And it includes strategies, right? The thing is, to bring life to us, to help us to live life to the fullest. And when we are bound, and I use that word specifically, when we are bound with unforgiveness, we're not living in the fullness of the joy and health and love and all the great things that we could live in, because we're bound in unforgiveness.
Thank you so much, Sandra. Well, and how could people connect with you if they're interested in what you're doing?
You could connect with me just on my website. My website is www.sandralcobb.com. sandralcobb.com. Through that, you can find out about my coaching programs. You can also order the paperback book. You can also access, I have the ebook on Amazon. You can also get through my website. So I mentioned to you that I thought I had forgiven, but, you know, there can be signs, there can be indicators that we're ignoring and don't recognize as things that maybe we haven't forgiven, right? For example, maybe the incident that hurt you keeps replaying in your mind. It's like automatic replay. When you're sleeping, it keeps replaying. While you're at work trying to concentrate, it keeps replaying. While you're sitting still, it just keeps replaying. And this could be a sign that you haven't really forgiven. Not being able to sleep at night, because it's on your mind constantly, right? Could be a sign that you haven't forgiven. Could be that just at the mention of a person's name that hurt you, you haven't seen them, haven't talked to them, but just the mention of their name sets you off. You go from 0 to 10 like that, and you begin to feel this anger and resentment and revenge that you want to get back at them. That's a sign that maybe you haven't forgiven. And these are, I thank God for the signs, right? Just like when we have physical ailments, you know, you got a headache and it won't go away. You want to get that checked out. Your heart is racing, and while you're sitting still, you want to get that checked out. There are things that show us that maybe we haven't forgiven, and we want to get that checked out. So how do we do that? I do these things called, and if you go follow me on Facebook, you'll see a couple tapes on doing forgiveness checkups. Just do them on a regular basis. Forgiveness checkups. God, is there anyone that I'm still holding a grudge against? Would you show me who it is? So, you know, why am I still mad? Why when I get around this particular person, do I just feel, we say, some kind of way? And I can't remember what it was, but why do they, something about this person makes me want to stay away from them, right? Maybe it's because we need to do that check with Manas God to show us, are we still holding a grudge? And then begin this process of dealing with it. Because one thing we do often is try to sweep things under the rug. And this is so relevant when it comes to this vision board for romance, right? Wherever we come from, we take it with us. All the good stuff and memories and stuff. But if there's bad stuff, it comes with us too into these relationships. And to try to pretend like some of the bad stuff didn't happen doesn't help this new relationship we're looking for. So we'll try and sweep things under the rug, right? Sweep things under the rug. And that ain't that stuff. You can sweep under it for 20 years. And if you go back under the rug, it's still there because it haven't been dealt with. But now it stinks because it hasn't been dealt with, right? So before we enter into these relationships, we got to deal with our real heart because someone else, for example, may have betrayed us. We may find it hard to forgive and hard to trust again, right? Because of that offense, or someone has done something, some sexual misconduct toward us. And I'll just be transparent, you know, growing up, unfortunately, many of us may have had some type of abuse done to us. And in my marriage, that came up. I was triggered when he did a certain thing. Had nothing to do with him, but I pulled away because I hadn't really dealt with it yet. And so when we get these triggers, we have to deal with them. And it's best, you know, when you're creating that vision board, make some space for forgiveness. Make some space to do your forgiveness checkup. Make some space for you to really deal with and be honest with yourself about some past wounds that you have. They don't just go away.
Thank you, Sandra. Okay. And you can share any information in the private chat. If there's anything anyone wants to share, like if you want to connect or a project you have going on, there is a private chat tab here somewhere if you guys can see it, and you can just share, like you can share your website or I don't. Okay. Does anyone, we are recording. Is everybody comfortable with that? We have, I think Megan just came on with us. How are you, Megan?
I feel bad about being late. I do apologize. I was getting my stuff together, but
no
I should have done it a little bit sooner. I apologize, but
it's no problem. It's freestyle here, so you know everything doesn't have to be perfect. We have Taonga. Did I say your name right? Can you say it? I think I have you muted. Let me unmute you. Okay.
Okay, Taonga, yeah.
And she's coming from us. You said from Lithuania.
Mm-hmm.
And it's midnight over there, probably past midnight. But since we're talking about unforgiveness, and I didn't really get a chance for you ladies to introduce yourself. Do you ladies want to introduce yourselves, to Taonga and Megan?
Yeah, you can start. Introduce yourself as well.
Oh, yes. I'm Irene. I'm part of the Sexless Tribe, and I'm also have a podcast called CBiz Media, and also we have the Single Christian Girls as well as a part of our podcast. And I just thought it would be a great idea to focus on our goals when it comes to romance and relationships, because I think a lot of times that goes to the wayside, and most people are, of course, you want to get your career and everything up and all of that. But sometimes the romance part goes to the wayside, and I feel like I've made some bad decisions because I didn't have a plan in place, and it was like whoever came to me, I just accepted them, not seeing who they fully were and not knowing what I wanted. So I feel like, you know, we need to know what we want moving forward and find the right person that's for us. So I thought it would be a great idea to do something like this, connect with the ladies, and just thought it would be fun.
Great.
Sounds good. That's a good idea. And like I said, it's my first time to attend one of these. But yeah, I'm also part of TST, the Sexless Tribe. I think I've been there almost 3 years. It should be 3 years in April. I work in customer support for businesses, and I'm an international student. I was actually, I still feel like a student. But I haven't been outside of the dorms for so long. I graduated in June. I have a podcast as well. It's called Hello Friday. It's a life and faith podcast. For now, I'm on break since December. I think I'll get back on it in February. I gave myself a social media break from end of December. So,
okay.
Yeah, and at church, I serve in the kids team, teens, prayer, greeters team as well. So yeah, that's what I do. Yeah, I think that's about it for now.
Thank you. And if you can you put your information in the chat for your podcast? We can check your podcast out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
You said you're on break, but you still have episodes up, right? That we can check out.
Yeah,
great. Okay, Megan, how about you?
Oh well, my name is, so I'm Megan, and I am one of those women who was hardcore career here for the last few years, and you know, now I'm at a point kind of in my life now where, a big part of the work I was involved with is kind of like based around my experience, you know, and being the, like, where we were, Sandra. Okay. I apologize. I came in late.
It's okay.
Okay. But, you know, it was really good to catch your insights there. You know, for me personally, a lot of the work I have been doing, because like I'm involved with like working with women who have, you know, trauma, like I guess like myself, you know, and even though I've done a lot of like healing work around it, you know, and you know, I thought there were times like when in an advisory role where I was, I really was resonating and reflecting on what you're saying about like how it comes back, and how, you know, like we really have to look at it and, you know, and find ways to heal through it. Now, you know, I grew up, I live in a community in rural Canada. So like I grew up pretty marginalized. So a lot of the experiences that I didn't really process as trauma, and I was in some very violent relationships as well. I'm not gonna like sugarcoat it and pretend it was all smooth sailing, because it wasn't, and I mean it still isn't, right? But like a lot of these experiences came for me to look at, I guess, later on. And then, you know, as I started to travel more with my job and with my work and going to like other parts of Canada, realizing like how culturally different it was. And really during the pandemic and during lockdown when, I kind of had to pivot out of, I was gonna pursue a career in children's ministry, but then, you know, COVID came and a lot of us had to pivot and figure out different pathways and whatnot. But I really had a chance throughout that time, and still now, to like really collaborate and get to know a lot of individuals internationally, and that really broadened my sense of like curiosity around different cultures and my culture. And I think I healed a lot of my racial traumas around that time, because like I had never really talked about it, you know what I mean? I'm still in a community where it's very, you know, hush, like it's hush hush. You know, people want to say that stuff's being done, but I don't know, it's kind of not really, without getting too political, I don't want the conversation to go into that, but sometimes like with the work I was doing within like advisory roles within like women, like women who are leaving domestic violence relationships. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's very rewarding work, but I realized that it almost right now, like it almost was like too much. It became too much of my identity, you know? I mean, there's a point of like empowerment. Oh yeah, you know, but then there's like a point of, okay, maybe I need to, you know, and I mean, sometimes it can be a little rewarding, but at the same time, like kind of going back into like my story, because like I was a single mom who took my daughter out of a really abusive relationship, and I had, you know, and like I had to go and live at the Y women's shelter. I was homeless for about a month or so, and then I had to go live in women's secondary shelter to like get back on my feet until I could get working and again and all that. That's like the story of my younger years, but it's really it's affected me a lot within like dating and romance, because I spent most of my life working and raising my daughter who's in university now, so you know, I never really consciously even really thought about getting in a relationship. And I think there's a lot of shame and a lot of fear around that too, right? Because I had been in such abusive relationships. I'm sorry, but maybe I'm getting too, am I getting like too in depth? Like if you want me to like tone it down, I can. I don't want to like.
No. Whatever you want to share from your heart, you're welcome to.
Okay. Okay, thank you. But like, for me, right now, I'm in a transition in my career where I'm going kind of from that to doing more independent freelance work. So I'll have a little bit more, freedom, and I won't be like as easily, you know, triggered and getting put like right in the moment and right in the cause of having to do like policy work and having to just constantly be involved in it. Like I said, like I'm very grateful to have the opportunities. Like it's great to be able to have maybe help decision makers understand how they can, you know, better equip policies and make changes in communities, but sometimes it's a little exhausting for me, and I had to kind of take it to shift into something that was going to be a little bit more support for my well-being right now. You know, I'm also looking at a possible relocation as well, because when I was traveling, you know, there were cities that I just felt I was had more opportunity for me, and I felt like I could, you know, grow there professionally and perhaps more in a romantic role. So I'm kind of at this stagnant place where I feel like, I don't know if I want to get in a relationship now because I'm moving, and I'm kind of just at a complete standstill, and I kind of feel stuck. But, you know, there are situations like Sandra was talking about, like that I know I need to look at. It's just a matter of like, is it going to come up at me when I'm not in the city anymore? It probably will, you know, because I'll have to maybe like connect with some like professionals that, you know, understand and maybe that I can trust more and don't, because like in my experiences too, You know, a lot of people will kind of push the, in this community, it's still very like backwards, you know, kind of like the, it didn't, you know, like just leave it alone, or it's, yeah, the kind of like the, just, we don't talk about it, or it did, you know, like kind of like that, I don't know, denial in a sense, but you can't.
Yeah, so that just sounds like it's just not a healthy situation for you. So that's part of the reason why you're trying to relocate.
Yeah, so
you have a lot on your plate. Like, how do you feel that romance plays a part? Do you know what you want once you do re-enter the romantic arena? Because I know you have a lot of things going on and you may want to address that, but still in the back of your mind, like, if that person comes in the middle of all of this, will you know that's the person? Will you know, do you know exactly what you're looking for, or what you need when it comes to that?
Well, I guess I have a little, like, in my own healing work, I never really, like, put it into perspective, I guess, from, like, another, to another person, because I more or less have just always, in the last, like, few years when I've been doing, like, working through my own stuff, it's always just kind of been a focus of, like, my own value system. So I don't know if that would, I don't know how that would play out if I was like on a date and I said like, these are my values. I don't know how that would work from another person's perspective. I mean, if somebody came at that to, and said that to me, and this is who I am, I would listen to them because I've taught myself, you know, through professional development, personal development, to be able to listen to other people. But sometimes I have to learn to set boundaries and maybe, like, you know, not listen as much in a sense, right? But that's something I'm learning to do.
You're saying you not listen so much to what they want and kind of be more assertive in sharing what you want?
Yeah, I guess really, like, learning how to have that, you know, that equal, you know, that equal mutual respect in a conversation. You know, for someone like me who was very codependent, and I had, you know, doing a lot of work through understanding codependency, and you know, I've spent a lot of time looking at my past patterns. I didn't listen to people, number one. I mean, number two, I was in really toxic relationships in the first place. And it wasn't just, not just relationally, but like even people that, well, I mean, at the time I thought were friends, but I can look back now and I can see that, you know, they were very selfish and very kind of like, what, you know, like, what's in it for me kind of thing. So, you know, I would like to, when I'm ready to, you know, yeah, have conversations like this in a mutual understanding way. Now, sometimes, and I mean, I've had this experience like with colleagues that I just finished working on a project recently with some other women. Like, we were launching campaigns within housing advocacy, right? And you know, things can be going really well, but, you know, like when you're in professional relationships, like that, sometimes, like, I mean, you know, people, you know each other through the project, so to speak, right? Like, but you may not necessarily know everything about that person. So, like, there was an experience that happened that kind of threw me off, and it was, you know, it was a little bit concerning for me. But, you know, I've learned to be able to be assertive enough to, like, go into situations like that and, you know, maybe talk to you know, the director or whoever is overseeing that and address my concerns in a respectful way. There was a time when I was younger, when I was very early in my working career, where I was just a people pleaser and I wanted everyone to like me. And it was very dangerous, you know, because there were things that were happening within like the job that I was in that I, you know, I should have been more diligent and aware of, and I should have reported. And, you know, and there were relationships that, you know, I should have been more assertive because I was like in a supervisory role.
Yes. So. The people pleasing can be a pretty big issue. I want to get to Tianga because I think we're losing her because she's been up. So Tianga, do you feel you're ready for your person? Do you feel like you have thought out the process of, you know, if this person comes into my life, these are the things that I need from them? And this is also not just, we just don't want to look one-sided like, hey, he has said this, this, and this, but we want to look like, okay, inside of myself too, am I in the place, can I offer him the things that he needs? Like, have you thought about that?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Yeah, I think that's a very good question. I don't know. I feel like most of my life, I've mostly been the one giving and giving and giving. I don't know. I feel like I'm also ready to receive because I believe that I've done a lot of giving, whether it's in friendships. I just feel like I also want to be loved, to be honest. So, yeah. But I'm just trying not to, like, panic or something. Because, I mean, I'm turning 35 this year. I was actually shocked the other day. I'm like, what? I'm turning 35? I just feel like I'm, I don't know, like, where time has gone. Like, I don't know. Because, I mean, I've been waiting on the Lord for a life partner since forever, since I was 21, and I didn't think that I would still be like in my 30s and not be married or something. I thought I'll be married at 25. It didn't happen. 27, 29, 30, 30. I'm like, what? I'm turning 35. I just can't believe it. It's so crazy. And actually, I think living in Europe has helped me out a bit because my friends who are still in my country, they are really under so much pressure because in most African countries, if you are not married by the time you are 30, people think you are cursed, or people think that maybe you are very difficult, or like they always blame girls, you know, like most cultures, whether it's African or Indian or Asian, mostly like if you are reaching 30 and you are not married, it's like what is wrong and all that. And to be honest, there was a time when, as a believer, I went through so much. Like, even though, like, I mean, I've known the Lord since I was, like, 13 from boarding school because, like, in my country, it's normal to go to boarding school. So, I met the Lord when I was still young, like, my early teens. Like, God caught me early. I think if he didn't, I would be very wild or something. But God caught me when I was... So, I think, like I was saying, that being in Europe has sort of kind of helped a bit because people here are very individualistic, you mind your own business, that kind of thing, which is, it has its ups and it has its advantages and disadvantages. Like, the disadvantages is that maybe you can't just knock on your neighbor's door and be like, I've run out of salt. That you can do that in my country. You can literally go to your neighbors and be like, oh, I don't have sugar, I don't have salt, and somebody will give it to you. But in Europe, everyone minds their own business, which is kind of bad because people tend to be depressed. And also, I live in one of the countries which has number one on suicide in the whole of Europe. Like in Europe, and it's in the top 10 in the world, but in Europe it's number one. So that's the country where I live in. So a lot of people are very, very depressed and stuff. But like, I've just been trying to be content and everything. So like I was saying, that I went through a lot of process where I did a lot of deliverance. I did seed sowing, everything that a believer can do. But I was just so perplexed. I'm like, God, I don't understand. Like, my singleness is a mystery to me. So, I don't understand. So there are times when I'm content. There are times when I'm not. There are times, because I do, like, what I'm meant to do, like, serving. people say you should love yourself, take yourself to the cinema, do this, but it gets tiring sometimes, to be honest. Like, I know that naturally I'm a romantic person. I'm the kind of person who wants to write letters and cards and I don't know. I feel like I like to surprise people, whether it's my family, if they have a birthday, I like to plan things. But I just feel like I've never like been loved or something. Even maybe the almost relationships that I had, I felt like it was mostly one-sided, maybe because I liked the person. But to actually know that, okay, this person really likes me, this is my person, I don't think I've had that experience. I think it's mostly been like one-sided. So yeah, I don't know how God is going to bring it about, but I believe like within my own power, I've tried dating sites. Maybe I haven't tried blind dates. Yeah, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I think every other thing that I can do, I have tried. But maybe because I like hold on to my values, because I do meet some guys, but they don't believe in the same thing. Like, for example, they don't believe in no sex before marriage, that kind of thing. So yeah, it's kind of hard sometimes when you're trying to do things right, like to live God's way. So yeah, sometimes I just like, God, like, if I'm not going to get married, like, just kill me. But then it's like, I still have hope that I am going to get married. I don't know. And also, I've always had a desire to be like a foster mom. And one of the girls on TSC was saying how she's getting ready to adopt. She's been waiting for a husband. It's not happening. So she's just going to go ahead and adopt on her own. I'm like, okay. So I don't know. But it can be kind of hard when you're believing God for something, because both of my siblings, they are married. My brother, he's turning 38 this year. He's married. He has a daughter. And my sister, who is younger than me, she's turning 29 and she has two sons. So I'm the middle child and I'm the one who's not married and I'm the one who doesn't have any child yet. So, yeah, it's kind of, it's crazy. But then at the same time, I feel like I've also become so dependent, so independent sometimes, so which is not so good as well. You can get so used to being single as well. So. Mm. Yeah.
That's true. Mm. I can relate to you, Tayanga. We are both a part of Sexless Tribe.
Yeah.
But I'm in my 40s and I'm still never been married, so... you should feel good you're 35. And I think you still have time and there's still hope, and I still have hope for myself as well that I get married. I know it's gonna look different than if I was in my 20s or in my 30s, but I feel like God has that person for me. And I've had a few serious relationships, but they didn't, as far as marriage, they didn't go to the point of marriage, even though we had talked about it. I was engaged at one time. And the last relationship was really just heartbreaking because I really fell in love with that person. I think for the first time I fell in love with them, but they had a lot of different issues. And they did say they were a person of faith, but sex became an issue down the line in a relationship. And then I also found out some major news that they were still involved in a serious relationship while they were with me as well. So... it kind of became really messy, but it ended like back in October, and it made me kind of reevaluate how I'm going to moving forward as far as who I'm going to like entertain when it comes to like romantic relationships and, you know, how deep I'll let that person in. So it's like kind of a reevaluation stage for me, and also still hopeful, but saying, okay, now I feel like God is kind of connecting the dots for me when I look at my past. Like, okay, these are some of the things that I didn't look at, and these are now I need to kind of look at these things and try to configure a formula or something like that in order to get a little bit closer to finding what God has for me. So that's my positioning when it comes to the romance goals and kind of just being specific, like you were saying, Tayanga, there's guys that will come to you that they don't have the same values. Megan, she has certain values that, you know, she may not know the other person may not have those values. So it can be difficult trying to find that right person, the person that is for you, but you just have to be sure and make up in your mind really what's going to work best for you, and don't have any shame. You may be older. You know, there's still a lot of older people out here dating. There's people that have been divorced. So, you know, there's options out here for you, and God can bless you with somebody. And I've seen the stories on social media and whatnot, so I know that, you know, that there is hope. I want to ask Miss Sandra, because you're married, right?
I am not married. I was at
you're
this
not
time.
Married?
I am not at this time. I was married for 31 years and re-divorced, and he is now deceased. And so it's been a year since he's been deceased, and it felt like a second death for me, because the divorce felt like a death, right? And then him, although we were not together still, he's the father of my children, and we spent 31 years together. So when he passed, that was another period of grief that I went through. And actually, and I didn't get on this call, I'm just going to be honest, I got on this because of what you asked me, you know, how you approached me. But I might have just said it yesterday, or even today, or it might have been yesterday, that I think I'm ready now, seriously, to have, to be back into a loving relationship. It takes, you know, after a relationship ends, there's a lot of healing that has to take place. And I had tried last year sometime after, you know, it was at least a year or so after the divorce. But this dating arena is not the same arena that it was when I was in it 31 years ago, 33, 34 years ago. Now, it's a trip. And
yes, I even say it's different than like 10 years ago, because I was out of it for a while and I tried to get back in and like, what is happening?
It is crazy. I'm 60. I just turned 60 in December. And so I thought an advantage to my age would be finding other mature men who know what they want. Right? Not so. I don't want to burst your bubble if it does, but I'm surprised at the men that I've met. That's not all men, but some of the men that I've met, the level of it's like the sex part of it, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not a teenager. You can't, you know, and some of the things that have been said to me, and some things that were intended to be to pressure me, is I'm not in high school. You know, I know I don't have to do that to prove anything to you at my age, and I know what I want, and I know what I don't want. So is it different? I thought about because my daughters, two daughters and a son, and so my youngest daughter, she's like 35, 36, something like that. And so she was like, Ma, you want me to, you know, create a profile for you on, what is it, Christian Mingle or something like that? I said, sure, why not? And then I see this post about this nightmare that someone had from, you know, going into these Christian groups, single groups and stuff, and how horrible it sounds. Like, okay, let me retract that. That's all right. Just, I'll wait, you know, and it is a challenge, sis, and I agree with you. If I didn't have standards, I could have had a lot of other stuff. I could have had companionship. I could have had bills paid. Seriously, you know what I'm saying? I could have had a lot of other stuff if I didn't have standards. But I do, and I'm too old to give them up. I just don't have anything to do. I'm too old to
Wow.
give them up.
I think our standards are more valuable than somebody just to have a companion or just to have somebody to pay our bills. Because at the end of the day, you got to go home with you.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows if they're going to be there at the end of the day.
And that's not even their intention. They're not even making those promises. You know what I'm saying? They're not even implying if we do this, I'm yours forever. Sad part is they don't have to. Somebody's going to take them up on an offer. But not me. So, you know, it can be lonely. And I've asked for grace, you know, to be content with where I am, to still be functioning in my purpose. Because I don't want to be held accountable for not doing things I'm supposed to be doing, waiting on something else. Does that make sense? I'm still accountable for what I'm charged to do. So I want to keep myself doing those things that I'm charged to do. And if
yeah.
it happens. But it, you know, sometimes I just like to hear when you come through the door, baby, I'm home. You know, I say it sometimes. I just say it because I'm like, honey, I'm home. Ain't nobody here.
You talking to Jesus.
I get, honey, I'm home. Yeah, you know, or to have someone at the end of the day when you work so hard. I'm listening to you, sister. When you work so hard, sometimes it would just be so nice to have someone. Babe, how was your day?
Right.
How could I make it better? You know, I ran a water for you. I ran a tub of water for you. So, yeah, girl, you're doing something to me. Thank you very much.
So, like you were saying about waiting, but, you know, a lot of times they say in our waiting seasons, we still move, you know, we still take care of our business and all of that. So as we wait, we are still, you know, actively doing our due diligence, fulfilling our purpose, and, you know, preparing ourselves to position ourselves in the places that we want to find that person. If you're going to the club, you're not positioning yourself to find a husband. You know, you're going to probably just find a one night stand, what they might call a booty call, you know, something like that. So you kind of have to position yourself. And I know Tayanga's a part of her church. A lot of church people tell me everybody's married in the church. Like, there's no single men in the church. So it's something that we have to see, you know, Lord, where should we position ourselves for that person? Pray about it. And I'm going to keep all you ladies in prayer for your personal lives, when it comes to romance, when it comes to your purpose, to just your life, because all of that comes together to make us a whole person. I wanted to share these vision board pics. Megan, did you start on a vision board?
Well, I've got all my supplies. I got my big canvas. I got my net.
Yeah, we were supposed to do it together, but things kind of turned out a little bit differently.
And then I showed up late and didn't help.
And Tayanga, she's been up late for so long. So she's come just from work, and it's midnight over there. Now it's probably, what, 1 something now over there. So I want to just show you guys examples of vision boards. If you don't know how they look, I'm trying to see how come my thing's not showing up. Oh, so can you guys see that?
Not yet. Oh, there it is. Okay.
So that's just a little example of one vision board. Just like different little magazine scraps and just put it together as to what you would envision, what you want.
Mm-hmm.
That's another example. Like, that's more of a digital one. That's probably what I was going to do, is just copy paste and do something like that. with all those little pieces. And then you can do one that's like worded. Like it doesn't have to have all those pictures. It can see it says love. It says something about life, or, you know, you could do something simple like that. And I don't expect you guys to have your vision board fully completed. It could be something that we work on today and something that, you know, you can continue to work on over time and just kind of take your time on it. And you might think of some new things as time goes on. So we were supposed to work on it. And I don't want to hold Tianga, though, because I know she needs her rest. But if you do work on your vision board, please send me the completed version of your vision board. And all you ladies know how to get to me. Tianga, I message you on the app, but I'll send you my email, because I would like to see your finished product of your vision board. If you want to finish it, it's up to you. You don't have to, but do you feel like this conversation was something that was beneficial for you?
Yeah, thank you so much for the invite. It was good. It's always good to share and also to learn from other people. And thank you, Megan, as well. Nice to meet you. Mm-hmm. I hope we'll have another meetup at some point. It would be nice.
Yeah. Yes, and we'll continue to pray for each other.
Yeah. Thank you.
Love you.
God bless you. Bye.
Okay, Megan, it looks like it's just me and you. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's back. Sandra has returned.
Yeah, I was typing, so I...
Oh, I see it now. Okay.
So I thank you for this invitation.
Thank you for coming. I think you played a great part for us tonight, and we really appreciate your feedback and sharing about your book and everything. So thank you so much. Is there any final words that you'd like to give?
I just add, when I looked at that example of your vision board, I do encourage you put some, find the word forgiveness and stick it on your board.
Yes.
So, yeah. Oh,
I better.
Forgiveness, apologize, something that keeps in your mind, you know, top of mind. That
yes.
To pull all this together, we gotta be released from some things, right? That might be blocking us from finding those good relationships. And you got to go after it on purpose. So find some of that forgiveness up there.
It's one more thing that I wanted to mention too, that, you know, it doesn't all have to be about, okay, finding that person and listing all of the, I mean, that's a part of it as far as the vision board, but it could be a healing process. Like, you know, maybe you don't have in mind the person yet, but you just have in mind the things you want to heal from your past relationships. Mm-hmm. You can put that on the board as well. Mm-hmm. Until you kind of figure out what you're looking for, or you can have it all there as well. So it could be a healing process more so than, hey, let me try to find someone right quick. I think it's something that takes time and just gives you time to think about it. Because a lot of times I feel people are rushed in situations. They meet somebody and the person might come on strong and you're in something and you're not really sure what you're in and about this person, and it can just be like, if you don't think ahead, you can kind of get swept away, which I feel mm-hmm. that's happened to me before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And have, I don't know, but I can't remember, so I'm not sure who to give credit to, but there are some things that are non-negotiable.
Yes.
Right. There's some belief systems. There's some things that we are committed to doing, and then there's some things that we're committed to not doing, and the right person will accept that. I do believe that the right person will accept you as you are, and hopefully, you know, have a similar belief system, and not just with their lips.
Amen. That's right.
But with their actions. Yeah.
Working on my vision board here, the Romance Goals Vision Board Party. I want to thank the ladies that came in to join us. We had a great time. We didn't really our vision board is basically now our homework and something that we have to work on over time. When a lot of people do vision board with parties, you know, you present everything and it's out that day. But I think it's a great idea to take your time on your vision board. And it doesn't have to be rushed. It doesn't have to be done at the end of the 2-hour party or whatnot. It can, maybe you have gotten it started, but you can take your time in finishing it and just kind of figure out and configure how you want to do things. So thank you again, ladies, for joining us. This is Irene with CBiz Media, and we will be back with all the single ladies, single Christian girl, and all of that right here on CBiz Media. This is Irene. All the best, and God bless.